This is Sunday morning, September the 15th, 2019. This is the Prophet's Corner, Uncut. And I want to talk to you this morning about the mark of the beast. Are you waiting for the mark of the beast to be implemented? Well, I have news for you today. By the Spirit of the living God, it is already here. In fact, it has been here since Genesis chapter 3. When Satan showed up in the garden and tempted Eve, caused man to fall, he became the god of this world system. Who do you think the mark of the beast is? It's Satan. When Satan showed up and seduced Eve, Satan became the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. So you were born into this system. Now I'm going to qualify this, or I've got a document to read you. Here's the number, his number. Here's one of his numbers right here. Like I said, you were born in the system. Your deliverance from this system is the new birth. A transfer took place. Colossians 1:13, he transferred you out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We know the mark of the sons of God on their, we now have the mark of the sons of God on our foreheads. Let's look at Revelation chapter 7. People are waiting for, the mark, when they've been living in it and under it their whole life. 7. We're going to read the first 8 verses. After this, I saw 4 angels stationed at the 4 corners of the earth, firmly holding back the 4 winds of the earth, so that no wind could blow on the earth or sea or upon any tree. Then I saw a second angel coming up from the east and carrying the seal of the living God, and with a loud voice he called out to the 4 angels who had been given authority and power to injure earth and sea, saying, harm neither the earth nor the sea nor the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God upon their foreheads. And I heard how many were sealed out of every tribe of the sons of Israel. There are 104,000. Now we're spiritual Israel. Keep that in mind. And so they sealed 12,000 from each. All right. There is a doctrine prevalent in the church today. It is the doctrine of futurism. It was adapted by the church during the 1700s. When we first started going to church as adults, we were told by an elder Pentecostal guy that we were attending at that time that the children of God would never have to go through anything. And we were so dumb and ignorant at that time and so young, we didn't ever question anything. We just thought, oh, well, great. You know, we'll never have to go through anything, any problems. According to the futurist viewpoint, the whole 1800 years that have passed subsequently are to be viewed as a blank in prophecy, the period having been purposely skipped over by the divine spirit in order at once to plunge the reader into the events and times of the consummation. In other words, when futurists look at the book of Revelation, they see little or no prophetic fulfillments during the entire course of Christian history. In its modern form, almost everything is predicted to be fulfilled after the rapture, after we're gone. A little historical research will reveal that the majority of Christian commentators on the book of Revelation down through Christian history have definitely seen the church as being on earth from Revelation 4 through 20. Later in the 1800s, here came the rapture theory doctrine that made it even worse. I personally, this is my personal opinion, believe that the book of Revelation is a book that is about our history as the church, and much of it has already been fulfilled. Nonetheless, we as the church had developed an escape mentality and not a reigning mentality. This is a huge problem. When we are not doing what we are supposed to do, we fall asleep. The virgins. God's calling the virgins. Matthew 25:1-13. And to fill their lamps. One of the first things that the Holy Spirit revealed to me about the book of Revelations was my futuristic view. All right, I'm going to look at it. This is a Revelation chapter 12. This is the first thing. Now, I was sitting here. I think you even had a word or something. I was sitting over here in this chair on a Sunday morning when this came to me. I had a revelation of this chapter right here. And that's what started me looking into the book of Revelation and what I believed and how we'd been taught. Revelation chapter 12. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, with a crown-like garland of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant. She cried out in her birth pangs in the anguish of her delivery. Now, we know this is Jesus' birth. Is this about history here? Uh-huh. Then another ominous sign was seen in heaven. Behold, a huge fiery dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 kingly crowns upon his heads. His tail swept across the sky and dragged down a third of the stars. This happened before Genesis 1. Is this about history here? Genesis 1. Okay. For several weeks, I pondered this. I said, Lord, you're trying to tell me something about this. And I kept saying, I kept looking at my Bible and I think, what if it's all already happened? Kept having that inkling. Now, it's obvious there are events that will happen, but I kept thinking, what if it's already all happened? And we're all waiting for everything to happen, and it's already happened. I don't say I've got it all clear, but the Holy Spirit's beginning to clear some things up for me. All right, the stars were flung them to the earth, and the dragon stationed himself in front of the woman who was about to be delivered so that he might devour her child as soon as it was brought forth. And she brought forth a male child, one who is destined to rule, or shepherd, all the nations. Did the serpent devour Jesus? Yes, he did. He went to the cross. He was devoured. Listen, all the nations with an iron staff, and her child was called up to God on his throne. So now he's seated at the highest place. And the woman fled into the desert, where she has a retreat prepared by God in which she is to be fed and kept safe. This is the nation of Israel. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels went forth to battle with the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated, and there was no room found for them in heaven any longer. And the huge dragon was cast down and out, that age-old serpent who is called the devil and Satan. He was the seducer of all humanity the world over. He was forced out and down to the earth, and his angels were flung out along with him. Then I heard a strong voice saying, now it has come, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, he who keeps bringing before our God charges against them day and night, has been cast out. And they overcame him by the means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of their testimony, for they did not love and cling to life, even when faced with death. I see this chapter as the triumphant church, the one that's ruling and reigning on the earth against Satan. He's down here, and he is trying his best to take out Israel. He's trying his best to take out the saints, and we are overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, the word of his testimony. We don't care about our lives. I see that as the triumphant church right here. I don't see that as a rapture. I don't see it as anything other than where we are in history today, overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, now he's seated with the Father on the throne, and we're ruling and reigning. Most people are looking at the stars thinking, oh yeah, the rapture's fixing to happen. They're looking at the constellations and saying this. We're not waiting for the bus and sitting on our suitcases napping, but reigning. Romans 5:17, we're to reign in life as kings. That word means to rule. Rule and be carefree, not caring for your life, but in Father's care. They were not escaping, they were occupying. We are sovereigns. Remember that, sovereigns. Okay, Revelation 1:6. This book is not about an escape theology. This is about the triumphant church. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, what he did, who he is. Okay, 1:6. and formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and the power and the majesty and the dominion throughout the ages forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Okay, Revelation 5:10. And you have made them a kingdom, a royal race, and priests to our God, and they shall reign as kings over the earth. There ain't anything in this that says, no, they're going to be in heaven. First Peter 2:9. Hope you're seeing what I'm seeing. Maybe not. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Why in the world would he come get us and take us to heaven when we hadn't ruled on the earth yet? Our roles for the end days is clearly defined. We have become enslaved in the beast system because we have not ruled and reigned as God said we should. Okay, Revelation 13. Right after the triumphant church is proclaimed here, we see a beast system arise. John says, 13, verse 1, I stood on the sandy beach. I saw a beast coming up out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads on his horns. He had 10 royal crowns and blasphemous titles on his heads. And the beast that I saw resembled a leopard. And on and on it goes, the description of the beast. The beast is a system. Understand that. The leopard is Germany. The mouth of the lion, that is Great Britain. Let me, I wrote them down here. Germany, Russia is the bear, Great Britain is the lion. Okay. And they fell down and paid homage to the dragon, because he had bestowed on the beast all his dominion and authority, that they also praised and worshiped the beast, exclaiming, who is a match for the beast, and who can make war against him? And the beast was given the power of speech, uttering boastful and blasphemous words. I've got a messed up Bible here, so I don't know what that says. He was given freedom to exercise authority, or authority, and to exercise his will during the 42 months. And he opened his mouth to speak slanderous against God, blaspheming his name and his abode to those who live in heaven. He was further permitted to wage war on God's holy people and overcome them, and power was given to extend his authority over every tribe, people, tongue, and nation. And all the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration and pay him homage, everyone whose name has not been recorded in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Okay, let me keep going here. If anyone is able to hear, let him listen. Whoever leads into captivity will himself go into captivity. If anyone slays with the sword must he be slain. Herein is the patience and the faith and the fidelity of the saints. Then I saw another beast rising up out of the land. He had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. He exerts all the power and right of control of the former beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell upon it to exalt and deify the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, and to worship him. He performed great signs and miracles, even making fire fall from the sky to the earth in men's sight. Because of the signs which he is allowed to perform in the presence of the beast, he deceives those who inhabit the earth, commanding them to erect a statue in the likeness of the beast who was wounded by the sword and still lived. And he is permitted to impart the breath of life into the beast image, so that the statue of the beast could actually talk and cause to be put to death those who would not bow down and worship the image of the beast. Also, he compels all, both small and great, both the rich and the poor, both the free and the slave, to be marked with an inscription on their right hands or on their forehead, so that no one will have to buy or sell, or no one will have the power to buy or sell unless he bears the stamp, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here's room for discernment, for the wisdom of interpretation. Let anyone who has intelligence calculate the number of the beast, for it is a human number, his number 666. This is the mark of the beast system. You look on the back of our dollar, there's the pyramid. There's the three city state, D.C., London, Vatican. This is the beast system. This is Horus, the eye. Egypt, they worshiped that in Egypt, the same system the children of Israel come out of. Same system. Now tell me, everything we do, we have to have our social security cards. You tell me it isn't the number of a man and it isn't the mark. It is a system. It's not what's coming. It's what we've lived under since we've been born. Birth certificate. We're numbered. Go look on your birth certificate. Right at the top, it tells you what birth number you are. And there's numerous numbers. It's all the beast system. Everybody's looking for a 666. I'm telling you, we've been under the beast system since we were born. Long time. Genesis 3. He is the God of this world system. You see why God is having to do the reset? Just like he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. We're under the system. You don't get your social security check without this. You don't even get your paycheck without this. So when did the beast system arise? Right after he was cast out of heaven. Want to see his mark? Social Security card. This system has numbers, numbers, numbers. And where did they come from? Men. Social Security is just one of them. Here's another of the beast system marks, the three city state, the pyramid, and the all-seeing eye of Horus. This is the Egyptian god that the children of Israel were under, and God gave them a reset. Is it any wonder what the Lord spoke to us about this ministry? This is Moses, brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. This ministry will set people free from the strongholds of their minds. Our ministry is about this very thing. Set people free from the strongholds of their minds. Just as Pharaoh had the children of Israel enslaved, so the same system, the beast system, has God's people enslaved, and we are here to bring them out of it. Coming out of Babylon. This is Revelation 18. I'm telling you, the Lord, through the years here, has caused me to see the book of Revelation in a whole set of some futuristic book. It's all going to happen the end time, but we're going to sit on our suitcases and wait for God to come and just get out of here. Who cares what happens? We won't be here. Then I saw another angel descending from heaven, possessing great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his radiance and splendor. And he shouted with a mighty voice, "She has fallen. Mighty Babylon has fallen. She has become a resort and dwelling place for demons, a dungeon haunted by every loathsome spirit, and abode for every filthy and detestable bird. For all nations have drunk the wine of her passionate unchastity, and the rulers and leaders of the earth have joined with her in committing fornication. And the businessmen of the earth had become rich with the wealth of her excessive luxury and wantonness. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, so that you may not share in her sins, neither participate in her plagues, for iniquities are piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her wickedness. And they have come up for settlement. Repay to her what she herself has paid in double in accordance with what she has done. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed for others. To the degree that she glorified herself and reveled in her wantonness, to that measure impose on her torment and anguish and tears and mourning. Since in her heart she boasts, 'I am not a widow. As a queen, I sit and I shall never see suffering or experience sorrow.' So shall her plagues come thick upon her in a single day, pestilence and anguish and sorrow and famine, and she shall be utterly consumed. For mighty is the Lord God who judges her, and the rulers and leaders of the earth who joined her in her immorality and luxuriated in her with her will weep and beat their breast and lament over her when they see the smoke of her conflagration. They will stand a long way off in terror of her torment, and they will cry, 'Woe and alas, the great city, the mighty city Babylon, in one single hour, how your doom has overtaken you.' And earth's businessmen will weep and grieve over her because no one buys their freight anymore. Their merchandise is of gold, silver, precious stones, and pearls of fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet, all kinds of scented woods, all sorts of articles, all of ivory, all varieties of objects of costly woods, bronze, iron, marble, all commerce here, of cinnamon, spices, incense, ointment, perfume, and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, fine flour and wheat, of cattle and sheep, horses and conveyances, and of, there goes your car industry, of slaves and souls of men. The ripe fruits and delicacies of which your soul longed have gone from you. All your luxuries and dainties, your elegance, your splendor are lost to you, never again to be recovered or experienced. The dealers who handled these articles, who grew wealthy through their business with her, will stand a long way off in terror of her doom and torment, weeping and grieving aloud and saying, alas, alas, for the great city that was robed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, we're talking the Vatican here, bedecked and glittering with gold, with precious stones, and with pearls. Because in 1 hour all the vast wealth has been destroyed, and all ship captains and pilots, navigators, and all who live by seafaring, the crews, and all who ply their trade on the sea stood a long way off and exclaimed as they watched the smoke of her burning, what city could be compared to the great city? And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and grieved, exclaiming, woe and alas for the great city where all who had ships on the sea grew rich from her great wealth. In one single hour she's been destroyed and has become a desert. Rejoice, O heaven, O saints and apostles and prophets, because God has executed vengeance for you upon her. Then a single powerful angel took up a boulder like a great, let me see how long I put this, through 24, up a boulder like a great millstone and flung it into the sea, crying, with such violence shall Babylon, the great city, be hurled down to destruction, shall never again be found. And the sound of harpists and minstrels and flute players and trumpeters will never again be heard in you, and no skilled artisan of any craft shall ever again be found in you. And the sound of the millstone shall never again be heard in you, and never again shall the light of a lamp shine in you. And the voice of bridegroom and bride shall never be heard in you again. For all your businessmen were the great and prominent men of the earth, and by your magic spells and your poisonous charm, all nations were led astray, seduced and deluded. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all those who have been slain on the earth. It talks in another place about the beast system, the woman riding the beast, that she was drunk with the blood of the saints. You know, it's a big deal today about drinking blood and adrenochrome and all that kind of stuff. You know, this three-city state, they are the core of all the wickedness on the earth today. And I have a document to read to you. So when did the beast system arise, right after he was cast out of heaven. All right, I read that. This time the Lord is going to destroy the Babel system. Genesis 11, we saw the Babel system. The beast system for good. Read the document. Okay. I've been sitting on this document for several weeks because I said, Lord, I've got to know the right time. And so he gave me the clearance to go ahead. This document, it's the person that presented it is Alternative News Analysis and Commentary, Revealing the True State of the Nation. The title is the Task Force Sheepdog Operation Education. This document came out on November the 11th, 2016, right after President Trump was elected. Obama was still president. President-elect Trump was ready to be inaugurated shortly. Okay. Now I'm going to show what I'm going to read to you today. You're going to see the state of our nation. This is unclassified for the attention of the U.S. Special Operations Forces and the militia, which are the people of the United States of America. The subject, the operational attempt to stop the illegal takeover and surrender of the 50 sovereign states of North America, known as the United States of America. Report objective, A, to explain and demonstrate to both members of the U.S. military and the people of the United States that there is an attempt to secretly and illegally take over and quietly surrender the United States of America back into the hands of the British Crown. B, prove beyond any shadow of a doubt to the members of the U.S. military and to the people of the United States that the attempt to take over and surrender this nation to the British Crown is illegal. and an act of absolute fraud, and in so doing, show them that their prayers to God to save this nation have been answered. Now, this is what President Trump stepped into. Overall outline, the individuals and activities of the entities that will be identified and discussed within this report are the royal family members, at the very top of the world control, the tribe of Dan. Now, I looked at the tribe of Dan. I kept thinking about Lieutenant Dan. This is Genesis where Jacob, he lays down each son. He said, Dan is a serpent. Is it any wonder the royals are called reptilians? You've seen the stuff. Now, some people think they're actually shapeshifters. Whether they're Nephilim, hybrids, I don't know. I didn't go into that study. But they believe that the lost tribes are not fully in the places that they need to be. But the royalty, especially the royals, they are the tribe of Dan, who are the framers and architects of the empire of the three city-states, London, the Vatican, D.C., consisting of, well, here it is, London, city, the District of Columbia, city-state, and the city-state of the Vatican, and their Melita, the Jesuits, their conglomeration, more well known as the New World Order. And he gives the scripture here, three unclean spirits identified in the book of Revelation. Greed, London is, these are the three different, greed, power, and control. London is greed. Power is D.C. Control is the Vatican. Okay, the American warriors at the very tip of the spear who stand in opposition to the tribe of Dan. This is the generation of the reptilians. This is Genesis 49, 16 and 17, where he says, Dan will be a serpent and will judges be the judge. Okay, you see how the queen pretty well owns everything. And that's no joke. All right, PSYOP group, USSOCOM. All right, PSYOP capability brief. Psychological operations warfare is the tip of the spear in the highest echelon of military warfare in the world, whose mission objectives are to conduct, amongst many other things, planned operations to convey selected information and indicators to a specific demographic or target audience in order to infiltrate, to change, persuade, or influence the emotions, motives, objective reasoning, and ultimately the personal behavior of any target. Audiences, foreign or otherwise, on a planetary scale if need be, in an effort to control. See, this is what the propaganda's been all about. In an effort to control every town, city, state, government, organization, or organizations, groups or individuals, from their religious groups to their corporations, all the way down to their clubs and or their teams, in an entire country, nation, or region of the hemisphere of this planet, in association and in cooperation with the U.S. State Department, host nation, and commander-in-chiefs, okay, overall objectives. For this is my official military report and a personal account of what I have come to know and understand as not just the truth, but the facts that are being withheld from the military and the American people of this great nation. Facts that will nullify every law and every last tyrannical piece of legislation that has been illegally introduced and rammed down the throat of the nation since 1999, thereby setting the entire country free and ending the orchestrated degradation of the United States of America once and for all. The United States of America is no longer under the command or control of the oversight of the current administration posing as the leadership in Washington. Neither does this country have a president, a Congress, nor a Senate, and the entire legislative and judicial system, to include all civil authority, has been suspended and officially, legally, and lawfully shut down and closed since 2nd November 1999. We've been in a state of martial law ever since then. Now, they're talking about invalid president. This is the Obama administration, congressmen, senators, all of them. Invalid, illegal. All right, as I've continued to read this, you'll see we've been, actually, America's been in three bankruptcies. The third bankruptcy came to an end November 2nd, right here, 1999. Okay. Okay. This country has, since 2nd November 1999 to current date, been in a state of martial law. And you need to know how and why. November 1999, the federal services contracts legally dissolved. It's the Federal Services Contracts Legally Dissolved Act. So 2nd November 1999, due to international banking law, the banknote, aka the U.S. Constitution, which was a postal command contract location accord in agreement in commerce, struck between the King of Great Britain, the founders of the Republic of the United States, had officially come to an end. And with that, all federal service contracts between the King of Great Britain and the 13 colonies, which are now the 50 states of the Union of the Republic, known as the United States of America, were and have been since that time legally and lawfully dissolved and ended. There is a man on YouTube, his name is Phil McConnell. They're trying to seize his property, and he understands about all of this, and so he will not salute that flag because it's an invalid flag that's in that courtroom, and they're a kangaroo court. And you'll see as I read here that these courts are all illegal and they don't have the right to try American citizens based on what happened in 1999. That means that all of the laws and all the codes and statutes of public justice and the entities that enforce them, ATF, FBI, NSA, that have all been created by the King of Great Britain to force the rule of his laws here in this country, the IRS, the DEA, the DHS, are gone. As the legally defunct entities are now lawfully dissolved, they therefore possess no authorization to execute operations, to execute any operations to enforce that now nullified former federal authority anywhere within the continental United States of America, as the agency authorizes for a British-run federal government services corporation are no longer lawfully valid, then they have no legal standing to operate in the capacity of legal or lawful extensions of now defunct private corporation-contracted British-run government entity. A private British federal contract government services corporation, the AKA the presidential administration, that illegally continues void of a legal national federal contract to fraudulently enforce the provision of these defunct federal services upon the states, both the states and the people of this nation. An illegal British federal government services corporation that continues to illegally operate in and out of the private corporate municipal city state of the District of Columbia, which itself is a private foreign enclave that was in effect built to host a private federal postal contract venue that they no longer have legal or lawful jurisdiction to exist in. So basically, you know, I saw a picture whenever President Trump got into office, and it showed him and it showed the shadows, you know, like a shadow government shadowing them. Well, that's what this is. This one that has no legal or lawful right, and they're trying to push and continue to push till they win. That's what they're doing. That's what they've been doing since he got in office. The fact is they have no legal or lawful power to enforce those now terminated private corporate federal government contract services, codes and statutes of public justice laws, mandates, and or executive orders of any kind anywhere in the United States, and therefore, as absolutely none of it is legal or lawful, there are nothing more than extensions of a legally defunct private government services corporation and rogue foreign entities operating illegally on our shores, working inland in an act of piracy and fraud by impersonating actual government-sponsored agencies of the United States of America, and this once-contracted federal government services corporation is doing all of this with the purposeful intent to wreak and incite civil havoc and acts of terrorism, which we're seeing with the false flag events, against all that encounter in an effort to extort money and property from them. Sad but true. So President Trump has come into office and to push back and to bring awareness to the American public about what's really going on and to keep these tyrants from taking our land. It's like we're in the war of, what was the war we fought with England? Again. It's never stopped. I said, Lord, our little nation's never had a chance, has it? How? And what does that mean? It means that in 1999, all the federal agencies in the United States, from the post office to the president to Congress to the Senate and the Supreme Court, all the way on down, were legally and lawfully dissolved and ended and have been ever since. For in order that this report makes sense, history as we have been taught and therefore made to understand must be revisited in brief manners and retaught throughout this report as we move forward in order to bring the reader full circle with a greater understanding of and far past national events. Global Warfare 101. The most important thing that we need to know and understand is the fact that on 22nd October 1871, this entire planet and everyone on it was captured in a shipping war. A shipping war. Where everyone and everything in this shipping war has been placed and is or under the international jurisdiction of admiralty and maritime law of the sea in a global warfare effort to control all commerce on planet Earth. Now, when Phil McConnell goes to court, he says, you're not legal and binding. You're under the jurisdiction of admiralty and maritime law of the sea, and that expired. And he quotes the stuff to him. There's a lot of people that are in the know, you know. This is what the yellow fringe around the flag signifies. It's indicating that it has been captured by a private corporation in a shipping war under the jurisdiction of admiralty and maritime law of the sea, identified as advertised by the yellow rope fringe. If you'll ever notice our flags, especially the ones in the, you know, the White House and stuff, encircling it as if capturing it, it is broadcasting and advertising that since it has been captured, we have been infiltrated, taken control of, and captured as well, and are therefore in a state of martial law, wherein, when beaten down and drug into a court, are guilty until proven innocent, where we are charged with crimes and extorted by punishments that are foreign to our civil systems and our soil. Now, they were talking about some of the Democrats. They have put that, you know, some of them have been judges, some of them have been, you know, played different roles, where they have someone that has gone in and committed a nonviolent crime, they give them such harsh penalties and such long imprisonments, 30 years. So that's why the president has come in behind and he's given the, you know, some reprieve for some of these people that were judged very harshly, because you go in guilty until proven innocent. Well, in the United States, under the Constitution, you're innocent until proven guilty. Anywhere that the flag is located with a yellow fringe around it, it is advertising that in those venues or at those corporate contract locations, the laws of admiralty supersede our nation's declarative standing, associated with the law of our flag that flies in opposition of those. Laws is properly represented by our nation's flag without the yellow fringe around it. Yet, as it is captured by that fringe, it is therefore bound, contracted to authorize those locations to harvest our country for whatever way stipulated. These are usually at your courthouses, in county recorder or state buildings, locations where you pay your fines and fees. So these flags, whatever venue they're over, it's like they don't work for you, they work for the crown. And we're to rape you as much as we can take from you and rape your land. That now you understand why you understand why they're not working for who elected them. They're working for themselves. They're working to pocket and get all they can. They're not working for the American people. To me, it became very plain why they're doing what they're doing, why they're acting the way they're acting. It's because of this. They're actually working for another government, the Queen. The United States Flag Code outlines certain guidelines for the use, display, and disposal of the flag. For example, the flag should never be dipped to any person or thing unless it is the ensign responding to a salute from a ship or a foreign nation. This tradition comes from the 1908 Summer Olympics in London, where countries were asked to dip their flag to King Edward VII. The American flag bearer did not. Team Captain Martin Sheridan is famously quoted saying, "This flag dips to no earthly king." See, God, this nation, God made this nation. That's why God's delivering this nation. Specifications, it talks about all the dimensions and of the flag. We're not going to go into that. See, most of the flags you see are not the right dimension anyway. Anything that stands above the flag itself is in position, attached to the top of the flagpost, suspends the contract or the standing of the flag itself, and therefore lets you know what or whose venue that you're in. If you're in the Vatican banking, presidential venue, etc. In other words, at that location where your flag flies, the laws of your flag no longer apply at the corporate contract location at its national standing. To include yours, has been suspended or disqualified and suspended by whatever is attached to the top of the flagpole. These positions are classified as domestic enemies to the government of the people of the United States, territories, California, Nevada, etc., and are to be considered legally and lawfully closed since 2nd November 1999. In other words, when you go to a venue and they whatever's on top of that flagpole, if it's not in a certain way, then that means they are actually your enemy and they're working against you. Courthouse, post office, a spire on a flagpole, anywhere you sit, lets you know that you're in a military court-martial venue and is declaring a state of war, martial law against the people. Every state governs office in the United States has a spire on the flagpole, every governor, denoting that they are at war with their people, and they have been since 2nd November 1999. An eagle, wingtips are up on the flagpole, means that you're in a presidential venue. A phoenix, wingtips down, pointed down, denotes that you are in a Vatican banking venue. In your county offices where you would pay your fines or purchase a copy of your deed of trust, you will see a phoenix. Do you know we're dishing out all these fees for the Vatican? You'll see a phoenix on the top of the flagpole, which tells you that you're paying your money to the Vatican and or its banking system. That's the beast system. A ball on top of the flagpole denotes that it is recruiting contracts at that location. The original flag of our country never had a yellow fringe around it. A yellow fringe denotes that you're under the international jurisdiction of Admiralty Maritime Law of the Sea. It also denotes that this flag is a private corporate flag as it is flown by the Federal Corporation of the District of Columbia. It's a corporate flag. Corporations are operating under the international jurisdiction of the sea and therefore the maxims of ecclesiastical law, aka corporate federal Roman law, despotic man-made laws of the Vatican. For a fact, the IRS claims that they work for the United States Treasury. The United States Treasury is under the jurisdiction of the United States Post Office. The Post Office is responsible for all three 850 branches of government because the Post Office, when established on 22 October 1871 in an act of global warfare, captured the entire world and all vessels in it in an effort to command and control all commerce of planet Earth. Contracts, people, money, cars. Does that sound like the beast system to you? It couldn't be any plainer than... The international jurisdiction of Admiralty and Maritime Law of the Sea is or the laws of the King of Great Britain, wherein everyone and everything is recognized as a little boat or vessel that is floating around in a sea of space as vessels and are therefore and have been captured in the King's global feudal system of commerce. The shipping movement of everyone and everything on the planet and the timelines, shipping dates, movements working in conjunction with the entire operation were set up are controlled by the Vatican's Gregorian calendar and the global position of the post office of the Universal Postmaster General up in Bern, Switzerland, where all of the post offices of the kings and our monarchs and dictators of the world are registered and their wars are conducted through. Postal wars, shipping wars, commerce, the control of the shipping and movement of all cargoes and our vessels, people, money, boats, planes, cars, military, and our, yes, wars on planet Earth, all in an effort to state the claim that they own have captured everything in the planet to include you. Under maritime law, Title 46, Chapter 1, Section 1 states the first rule of all contracts is closure. There must be closure for the violation of the contract by the initiant. If there is a hidden meaning with any contract and that meaning, dictionary term, was not advertised within that contract and that meaning was used for subversion or criminal activity, then that contract falls under the terminology of fraud. Closure, to provide a person or a position or office of importance with factual information. All right, historical cravat. On 2nd November 1999, this was the day all of the federal services being provided and overseen by Great Britain for the 50 territories of the Union of the Republic, the United States of America, which operates under the Constitution, for the United States of America and the District of Columbia and its Federal Services Contract Corporation, United States of America, Inc., which appears under the copyright, corporate copycat Constitution of the United States of America, legally and lawfully ended and were dissolved. There are two completely separate governments and two completely separate government systems. Now we see why there's a divide. Now you see why Obama, wherever Trump goes, he mirrors him. He tracks him everywhere he goes. The president will go to a country, and after he leaves, Obama shows up. They're going in and undermining everything. One is operating out of the District of Columbia in an effort to trick the other one by mirroring it in every manner to confuse it and eventually assimilate it in a long-range military objective to conquer it. It's the oldest trick in the book. This was presidential election year, and on the day, 2nd November 1999, the United States of America, from here, the USA, Inc., due to the close of the three city-states and final international bankruptcy, had to legally close the post office in Washington, D.C. down and lawfully vacate in the trust. The Office of the President and its surrender, its private corporation constitution, and its authorizations, validating its standing at the International Federal Postal Services Provider, Office of the Postmaster General, who authorizes our ability to conduct commerce with the rest of the world for the 50 territories, and therefore, through this legal closing process, ceased to exist as an international representative and guardian in the affairs concerning all commerce globally for this nation. In light of this legal information, it is beyond clear that today the USA Inc. is continuing to operate in an act of fraud well beyond its voided services agreement, as it has no legal, lawful federal contracts in place and therefore no legal authorization or lawful standing to exist and or operate whatsoever anywhere within the 50 state territories since 2nd November 1999, yet continues for 16 years to pose and make believe masquerade as if it's still employed in representing the 50 United States of America in an international federal capacity. Second, for 16 years has continued void of contract to beguile the 50 states, present fraudulently contrived illegal legislation and tyrannical executive orders to the people of this nation with no authorization, standing, or jurisdiction to do so. You could say everything, every executive order and everything that's been laid down since that time is really null and void. All the while in a criminal process of deception, fraud, and battery, not to mention impersonating the Postmaster General and the Commander-in-Chief of a nation, branches of the executors, judicial and legislative officers, and personnel, respectfully in a blatant breach of trust, criminal malfeasance, and embezzlement, this list of illegal activity could easily keep running, but we will stop here to conserve time and space. 2nd November 1999, presidential election in the United States, remember the Florida election, where it was weeks before they decided whether Bush would won or, you know. No one knew who won the election, Bush or Gore, because something had happened or gone wrong with the polling, voting box in Florida. And do you remember that it took Florida exactly 90 days to recount the votes? Why is this important? This is important because this was the end of the third and final bankruptcy of the United States of America, Inc., yes, Incorporated. This is the most important piece of our entire history. In fact, the fact that since that, after the American Revolutionary War, we have been little more than a private corporate charter. This is vital because when the 13 colonies won the War of Independence, more commonly known as the American Revolution, from Great Britain, those 13 colonies were about to be invaded and taken over by another monarch. In fact, there were two monarchs that were arguing over who it would be given to, who would be able to invade, and it has to do with the post office. Now, when the colonies were first established, the post office they had was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and it was overseen by the Honorable Elliot Binger, Esquire. Now, all our past presidents under this have been called Esquires. That means they're a servant to the Queen. That's why when Trump walked in front of the Queen, he was speaking a message. He got criticized for that, because the Queen walks in front of anybody, but he walked in front of the Queen. He wouldn't let her. He wouldn't let her, you know. Anyway, all right. I know this is long, but this is necessary. Okay. The Honorable Elliot Binger, Esquire, the sole Deputy Postmaster General of all His Majesty's Sovereign Lord George II, King of Great Britain's dominions in America, now the Queen's. Ben Franklin was appointed Postmaster of Philadelphia by the British Crown Postmaster General Elliot Binger in 1737. Postmaster General Elliot Binger then added to Franklin's duties by making him comptroller with financial oversight for nearby post offices. I didn't know the post office was so powerful. Franklin lobbied the British to succeed Postmaster General Binger when his health failed, and with Virginia's William Hunter was named joint Postmaster General for the Crown on August 10, 1753. In 1764, Franklin returned to London, where he represented the interests of several colonial governments, but in 1774, judged too sympathetic to the colonies, he was dismissed as joint Postmaster General for the British Crown. However, 1 year later, back on American soil in 1775, Franklin served as a member of the Second Continental Congress, which appointed him Postmaster General for the United States of America on July 26th of that year, 1775, with an annual salary of $1,000 and $340 for a secretary and comptroller. Their postal position gave the 13 colonies a standing authorization to ship and receive mail. Yeah. Conduct commerce, vessels, cargo, and our packages to and from other postal locations on the planet. Not long after the king tried to implement the stamp tax, remember? The king was told to get lost and shove it. And then he tried again later with the tea tax. Remember the Boston Tea Party? In 1776, Franklin worked with the committee that created the Declaration of Independence, and eventually the colonies go to war in objection to a myriad of continued British intrusions, and in so doing, had to close the post office of Benjamin Franklin down because war vacates all contract, and it was never reopened again. This is extremely important. Benjamin Franklin then left for Paris to secure French support for the war with England. When the American Revolution had come to an end, the colonies were now in a state of bankruptcy, owing 1.6 million francs to the French for funding the American Revolution. And a nation in bankruptcy does not have the power to create or enter into contracts of any kind. Therefore, they were unable to procure and file their own contract to open a post office again after the war. A post office that would authorize them to conduct commerce and substantiate their newly acquired sovereign position, national contract location, and as we all know, there are no free nations, as every other nation on the planet is ruled by some sort of psychopathic monarch or dictator. As this is the case, none then are truly free. So this has been going on, this system that we're all under. So then Spain and France argued over who had first right to invade, to rape, steal, and plunder the New World and seize control of its natural resources. Spain insisting that Christopher Columbus had found and claimed it first, and France insisting that without their support and financial assistance, their opportunity wouldn't even be available. Plus, they were owed 1.6 million francs. However, the King of Great Britain, still the king and the power in the world, slaps both down and instead places his own post office up in the District of Columbia, a foreign enclave, in an effort to control not only the shipping and receiving of everything moving in or out of the New World, all commerce, but this post office granted the 13 colonies with the postal authorizations needed as a private charter and now as a franchise corporate extension of this District of Columbia's federal postal contract location, was authorized to conduct commerce with the rest of the world's dictators and monarchs, whom, if wanted to rape the New World of all its natural resources, were going to have a contract with the king through his post office in D.C. to do so. Because once again, the Treaty of Alliance Benjamin Franklin negotiated in 1778 with the king of Great Britain was vital to the success of the American Revolution. Later, Franklin helped negotiate the peace treaty, the Treaty of Paris with Great Britain, and returned to Philadelphia in 1785. He attended the Constitutional Convention in 1787 and lived to see the Constitution adopted. There was no Washington, D.C. until the United States Constitution was adopted 15 September 1787, which included the authorization, the establishment of a federal district. When the United States Constitution was adopted on September 15, 1787, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 included language authorizing the establishment of a federal district. The district was not to exceed 10 miles square. Under the exclusive legislative authority of Congress, on July the 16th, 1790, Congress then authorized President George Washington to choose a permanent site for the capital city. And on December the 1st, 1800, the capital was moved from Philadelphia to an area along the Potomac River because of the case of shipping the river allowed. Then he died on April 17th, 1790. June 11th, 1878, in the Organic Act of 1878, last page. Aren't you glad? I am. Congress approves the establishment of the District of Columbia government as a private municipal government corporation. Just as he tyrannically ruled the East Indies Trading Company, he now ruled America, and he got a nice piece of everyone's pie in the process, as usual, to say the least. Continuing. The first objective of my mission was to try and stop a civil war by informing and educating the public, civil systems, and the municipalities on the multiple types of fraud that had been played out against them by the British Crown, and the Crown's overall objective to eventually conquer us as a nation, which for me was not going to be an easy task to tackle. But by the grace of God, within 6 months, I was directed to self-appointed common law judge Anna von Ritz, whose personal mission is to chronicle exactly that. Her entire account was filed with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Provost Marshal, the U.S. Marshals, the FBI, and a myriad of other agencies and authorities of the highest order. All of this is in my initial 230-page report to USSOCOM titled Harvested. Here is a recap that brings you up to current speed on that. Rothschild has just done to try and solidify the illegal surrender and capture of this nation, a nation on a continent that he knows good and well belongs to the Postmaster General, Federal Postal Judge Commander-in-Chief Russell J. Gould. I'm injecting a small section of my first report. Okay, I'm not going to read the rest of that, but I just wanted you to see here what's going on in our nation. The true history that we have never been told. Our nation has really never had a chance. It's like we've been enslaved ever since its beginning. Okay, I've got a little bit more here. Okay. There's something of interest here. You know, a lot of people maybe not see the validity of flat earth and the flat earth teaching. There's just some things that I found here. These are just the measurements of the earth, the spherical earth. Here's a list of 666s I found. The earth's axis, its orbital inclination around the sun is 66.6 degrees. The earth orbits the sun at 66,600 miles per hour. The earth's circumference is 600 by 6 by 6 nautical miles. The speed of sound is 666 knots per second. The force of gravity on Earth is 666 newtons. The curvature of a square mile is 0.666 feet. In 10 miles, it's in 20 miles, it's 266.6. In 40 miles, it's 1,066.6. In 50 miles, it's 1,666, and on it goes. All these are 666, 666, 666, 666. The Antarctic In Antarctic Circle are exactly 66.6 degrees. Astronaut Peggy Whitson spent 660 days in space. The distance to the moon is 6 times 60 times 666 miles. The diameter of the moon is 6.6.60 miles. Sunset is divided by 3 degrees, 6 plus 6 plus 6 degrees. From Mercury to the sun is 666 times brighter. This is pages, all at 666666. It's all about the spherical Earth. You tell me it wasn't an orchestrated thing by the beast system. All right. Interesting. All right. The three city-states, D.C. in itself, I have several articles in that in these folders here of all the demonic symbolism in D.C. The whole city is laid out in demonic symbolism. And we're not going to look at that today because I've gone really long. But I just want you to know that we are under the beast system. I guess that's all. We're not waiting for it. We've been under it all our lives.